So we just want to welcome everyone here today as we gather not merely to celebrate a birthday, but to remember a story. 250 years of God's faithfulness in the life of our nation. America's history has not been perfect. It has been marked by triumphs and failures, seasons of revival and seasons of wandering. Yet through every generation, God has raised up men and women who understand that true freedom is more than political independence. It is a gift that carries both privilege and responsibility and ultimately points us to the greater freedom found in Jesus Christ. This morning, we will hear the voices of some who have shaped our nation, pilgrims seeking religious liberty, founders who spoke of freedom under God, leaders who call the nation to repentance, and believers who challenge Americans to pass on a godly heritage to the next generation. As we listen, may we do more than remember history. May we reflect on our own calling. What kind of nation will we leave to our children? What truths will we preserve? And how will we, as followers of Christ, continue to be salt and light in our generation? Psalm 33:12 reminds us, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." As we celebrate America 250 Voices of Faith and Freedom, may our hearts be filled with gratitude for God's blessings, humility for our shortcomings, and renewed commitment to faithfully serve him and our nation. Let us now begin our journey through the voices of faith and freedom that have shaped America over these 250 years.
As we begin our journey through America's history, we travel back to 1620. A small group of pilgrims cross the Atlantic seeking the freedom to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. Their journey was not easy. They left behind familiar homes, churches, and communities because they longed to worship freely and build a life ordered by their faith. Before they ever stepped ashore in the New World, they understood that a lasting community could not be built on human strength alone. So before beginning their colony, they joined together in a covenant, acknowledging God's authority and committing themselves to self-government under him. That agreement became known as the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact declared, "Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic." These early settlers understood that any lasting nation must be built upon God's foundation. They remind us that freedom and responsibility must be held together under the authority of God. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
As tensions grew between Great Britain and the United colonies, or the American colonies, many believed liberty itself was at stake. Patrick Henry was not a soldier, nor was he a wealthy statesman. He was a lawyer from Virginia, known for his passionate speeches, clear convictions, and deep Christian faith. Long before the Declaration of Independence was signed, Henry was already urging the colonies to resist tyranny. A lesser known part of Patrick Henry's life is that after the Revolution, he used his influence to defend religious liberty. He believed freedom of conscience was essential, and he argued that government should never force the soul in matters of faith. On March 23, 1775, speaking before the Virginia Convention at St. John's Church in Richmond, Henry challenged delegates who were still hoping for peace with Great Britain. His words helped stir the courage of a people who were beginning to understand the cost of freedom. He proclaimed, "It is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Patrick Henry believed that liberty was a gift from God and that freedom required both courage and virtue. As it says in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage."
While America's founding fathers shaped a new government, women also played an important role in the forming of the nation's character. Abigail Adams was the wife of John Adams, our nation's second president, but she was far more than simply the wife of a statesman. Through thousands of letters exchanged with her husband, she offered counsel, encouragement, and insight during the founding of our nation. John Adams often sought her advice, and historians regard their correspondence as one of the most important records of early American history. Abigail understood that the strength of a nation would not rest only in laws, armies, or wealth. It would rest in the character of its people. She believed freedom could only survive apart from faith and virtue. She wrote, "A patriot without religion, in my estimation, is as great a paradox as an honest man without the fear of God. If our country is to be happy in the future, it must be by other means other than speculation, wealth, and power." As our nation celebrates 250 years of freedom, may we remember that righteousness and godly character remain essential to a nation's strength. Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people."
Abraham Lincoln, 1863. The Civil War remains the deadliest conflict in American history. During this painful season, President Abraham Lincoln called Americans not merely to victory, but to humility before God Almighty. Lincoln led the nation during a time of deep division, grief, and uncertainty. Families were torn apart. Churches were wrestled with the meaning of justice and union, and the future of the nation was uncertain. In the midst of this suffering, Lincoln did not point the country toward pride. He called the nation to repentance. In 1863, he proclaimed, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own the dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon." During and after the Civil War, Americans often turned to hymns for comfort and hope. One hymn that brought encouragement to countless families was "Shall We Gather at the River," written in 1864 by Baptist minister Robert Lowry. As families grieved and soldiers longed for home, the hymn pointed believers toward the sorrows of this life to the eternal hope found in Jesus Christ.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river, gather with the saints river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
As we remember those who sacrificed for our nation, may we also remember that true healing begins when people humble themselves before God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land."
As America entered a new century, Christian leaders sought to strengthen families, educate children, and shape society according to biblical values. One such leader was Frances Willard. Although many Americans today are unfamiliar with her name, she was one of the most influential women of the 19th century. Willard was an educator, author, evangelist, and reformer. She became president of the Women's Christian Temperance Union and helped it grow into one of the largest Christian women's organizations in the world. Under her leadership, women worked to strengthen families, promote education, minister in prisons, establish reform efforts, and bring Christian influence into public life. A lesser known detail about Frances Willard is that she was one of the first women in America to gain national influence as a speaker and organizer at a time when women's public leadership was strongly resisted. She believed that Christian women had a responsibility to serve their homes, their churches, and their nation. Francis Willard believed that lasting change in society began with transformed hearts and biblical truth. She wrote, "The Bible is the constitution of spiritual life, the chart of conduct, the inspiration of all true progress, and the foundation upon which the noblest character must be built. Every generation bears the responsibility of passing God's truth to those who follow." Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children."
Near the close of the 20th century, President Ronald Reagan frequently reminded Americans that our nation's greatness did not come from military strength or economic prosperity alone. Reagan often spoke of America as a shining city on a hill, echoing the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He believed that a free nation must remember its history, teach its children, and acknowledge its dependence upon God. In his farewell address, he warned, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." He also reminded Americans, "We have got to teach history based not on what is in fashion, but what is important. Why the Pilgrims came here, who Jimmy Doolittle was, and what those 30 seconds over Tokyo meant. If we forget what we did, we will not know who we are." As we celebrate America's 250th anniversary, these words still speak to us. The responsibility for preserving American heritage does not belong only to government leaders, it belongs to each generation. That is why we gather today to remember, to give thanks, and to pass on to our children the principles of faith, liberty, personal responsibility, and dependence upon Almighty God that have guided our nation for 250 years. May we be faithful in our generation. May we teach what is important, and may we shine the light of Christ in our homes, our churches, our communities, and our nation. Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden."
For the last few moments, we have listened to voices from across the centuries. Pilgrims seek the freedom to worship, patriots calling for liberty, leaders urging repentance, reformers shaping society through biblical truth, and presidents reminding us that a nation cannot thrive apart from God. These voices remind us of the important truth: every generation receives a heritage, and every generation leaves one behind. The question before us today is not simply, what kind of nation did our forefathers give us? The question is, what kind of nation will we leave to those who come after us? America's future will not ultimately be determined in the halls of government, the courts, or the marketplaces. It will be shaped in our homes, our churches, and in the hearts of ordinary believers who choose to love God, live faithfully, and pass His truth to the next generation. As followers of Jesus Christ, we celebrate our nation's freedom with gratitude, but we also remember that our highest allegiance belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Earthly freedom is a precious gift, but the greatest freedom is the freedom found in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom Christ has set us free." As we leave this place today, may we be people who remember God's faithfulness in our nation's history, pray for our country and its leaders, live as faithful citizens of both our nation and God's kingdom. And may we pass on to our children a legacy of faith, truth, and hope. May future generations look back on us and say that in our day, we loved God, cherished freedom, and remained faithful to the calling he placed upon us. And may God continue to bless America, not merely with prosperity or power, but with hearts that turn to him in humility and faith. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Happy 250th birthday, America. Today, as we celebrate America's 250th birthday, let us leave remembering this truth. The hope of America is not found in politics or prosperity, but in hearts that have been set free by Jesus Christ. And the freest people in the world have been set free by Jesus Christ. And the freest people in the world are those who can say, "My sins are forgiven, my chains are broken, and my Savior lives." May we continue to be people who seek the Lord and walk in his ways. We're going to close today with "God Bless America" before our benediction.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful, Lord, that from the beginning of our nation, when the pilgrims came across, from the beginning of our nations, when the first people set their feet on our soil, that you were here with us, Heavenly Father, that you guided and directed us as we went through our independence, as we went through a revolution, as we went through a civil war, as we've helped to defend other countries. Lord, that you have been here with us, that you have guided us and directed us, and we are just so grateful, Lord, for that. And Lord, we ask that you would give our country even more years, and that, Lord, that as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, that we would be a nation that turns back to you, that finds you, that falls to our knees, Heavenly Father, and seeks your face. Because, Lord, we know that if we do not do that, that you will not hear us, that you will not answer us, even though you know the desire, you call us to speak the words, to turn back to you. So, Lord, as our nation is celebrating this anniversary, celebrating this birthday, that you would not only allow us to celebrate our freedom here on earth, Lord, but that you would remind us of where that freedom truly comes from, that it comes from you, and that our freedom here on earth is only temporary, that we are living for the freedom that we have in eternity, because you have forgiven us of our sins, because your Son went to that cross for each and every one of us. And we are just so grateful, Lord, that we have this opportunity to live in freedom here, even if we are in bondage here on this planet, here on this earth, that we can still live in freedom because of Jesus Christ. And we are just so grateful for that today. Lord, please help us to take the message that we heard today with us this week. Help us to remember, Lord, where our freedom truly comes from as we go about our week to this week. Help us to share it with those that we come into contact with that are living under that oppression and in the bondage of sin, Heavenly Father. Help them to see what true freedom really looks like as they see the freedom that we live through you. And Lord, I just ask that you get us to our next destination safely and that you bring us back again tomorrow and throughout next week to study your word and to serve you. And Lord, we just give you all of the praise and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you're able to stand for the benediction. As we go from this place, may you remember the blessings of the past with gratitude, live in the presence with faithfulness, and look to the future with hope. May the Lord give you courage like Patrick Henry, wisdom like Abigail Adams, humility like Abraham Lincoln, conviction like Francis Willard, and a steadfast commitment to God like those pilgrims who first sought freedom to worship him. May he make you faithful stewards of the liberties we have received and bold witnesses of the greater freedom found in Jesus Christ. May your homes be places of prayer, your words be filled with grace, and your lives shine lights in this nation and in this generation. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God bless you. May God bless this community. And may God continue to bless the United States of America as we humbly seek him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.